Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times. And get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John. Joining me, as always, is the lovely and talented Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers. And today we have an incredibly special guest. Mr. Kevin Berry is the owner of the website called FrugalMouse.com. And Frugal Mouse is here to help you save as much money as possible on your next Disney vacation so you can stay longer, get more out of your trip, have more money, and definitely want to invest in that rainy day fund. So, everybody, welcome to the show, Kevin Berry.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah. So, we usually like to start everybody's interrogation with, you know, how did you become a Disney fan? How did you get, you know, involved in the Disney community, the Disney fandom and lifestyle? So, let's start with that.
Yeah. I think kind of where a lot of people started as a kid. I think I went, my first was, that put me about 9 years old or 8 years old. Just went with our family on a family trip down to Orlando. We piled in the station wagon, drove down from Philadelphia, made the long 16-hour trip down to Orlando. And really, after my first trip there, I was hooked. When I was also younger, I dealt a lot with making websites and front page, if anyone knows what that is, and some other websites. So when we go on our trips, I would take a bunch of pictures, take a bunch of videos. Again, these were the days before YouTube existed. So I had to just upload them to the web server. So just basically built a lot of websites and really had a passion for the parks and taking pictures and videos and building websites about Disney. Because I was learning how to build websites. I was like, well, why don't I build some Disney websites? And that just kind of continued on through my teenage years and into adulthood. And I hope to definitely pass that passion on to my kids when they come up soon.
So were you doing the websites for work or were you doing the websites for fun?
Oh, they're purely just fun. Yeah. I mean, okay. These are back in the late 90s. So, you know, had the MIDI files playing and
right.
All tacky animations and flashing GIFs and all that stuff. So they were just kind of fun sites. I when I was down in the parks, I would take a ton of pictures of everything and then post my trip reports up and, you know, visit the Diz.com and post my trip reports. So just kind of really got involved with the community and, you know, that kind of passion started there. And then continued on into, into adulthood. And then, you know, we'll talk about how to save money and how I continue to feed that passion for Disney as an adult.
Yeah. And you said you were using Front Page. That was not a useful, friendly tool back in the day.
It was awful.
It was ugly.
My websites, I have to see if I can dig some old ones up on like the Wayback Machine or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were not pretty sites, but I thought they were works of art back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and doing Front Page was you had to like know what you were doing back then. I mean, I'm working on stuff nowadays, and I'm just blown away by how easy it is. Back in the day, you had to, I mean, code for days just to get what we can do now in two clicks.
Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of learned the hard way. Now everything's automatic and easy, and yeah, it's a lot easier now.
So what are you using now to build the Frugal Mouse website?
I'm using WordPress. So WordPress, okay. Have a theme and customized it.
Right.
I'm doing some custom stuff there, but really nothing too heavy. Like, like you said, there's so many plugins and sites and templates and themes that you really don't know. You almost don't need any coding experience at all to really build a site nowadays.
Yeah.
And there are even easier ways to build sites. So, choosing WordPress theme and, it gets by. It just went through a little bit of redesign, so right. You'll see our new blue theme on the site if you visit after the show.
Cool, yeah. Excellent. Well, let's talk about that. Everybody that is a blogger in the Disney community kind of has, you know, they have their story, and we've talked about that, which is great. It's a great story, but they also have their niche. I mean, Tony has, you know, Disney by the Numbers. Mm-hmm. My thing is park hopping around and just talking about the different parks, and you've landed on probably, if I had to guess, probably the top one of the most hot button issues in the Disney community, which is how to save money.
Yes.
So how did that get started? And Tony and I are going to ask questions. We'd like to find out from you, the expert, on how we, Tony, and all of our friends listening can start saving money at Disney.
Yeah. So actually got started actually outside of Disney. So I'll tell you a little bit of a backstory, but about 7 or 8 years ago, I got into the world of called travel hacking, but it's using credit card sign-up bonuses to get frequent flyer miles and use those frequent flyer miles to redeem for free flights and free hotels. So that's really this. So I traveled around the world using those strategies. I was like, well, I could use these same points to fly down to Orlando and stay at the Swan and Dolphin and stay at hotels for my Disney trip. So I started doing that. And I just didn't see in the kind of Disney niche that a lot of people were promoting that method of really being able to plan affordable trips using those different methods, amongst many other ones that we'll talk about. But that's kind of how I got started. I saw that kind of a gap in, gap in a niche, and I decided to start Frugal Mouse to kind of promote that. So that's really what I use to do all my trips, and it literally can save you hundreds and thousands of dollars on your trip. So I just wanted to share that information with the Disney community because it really can help you go more often, stay longer, have some more money in your pocket, or just save some more money for that rainy day fund.
I'm going to reiterate kind of what you're saying so I can straighten it out in my head. So you have like a way of using a credit card, signing up for a credit card, so you get like the initial maybe points that they're offering, and then kind of like banking those and then using those as your travel fund to book a hotel in Orlando.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly what I do. And I have a credit card, a couple of credit cards open. I just, every dollar I spend, I put on the credit cards and I pay off in full each month, obviously, because I don't want to pay the interest or anything. Yeah. And then I'm spending money I'm going to be spending anyways. I just use that to redeem for Southwest flights down to Orlando and for hotel rooms. And that's really one of the many ways that I've been able to make a lot of my Disney trips very affordable.
Okay. Well, isn't there a lot of is there like a lot of hoops to jump through when you're dealing with credit card points and that kind of stuff? Wouldn't that be a little confusing for some people? I mean, we see commercials on TV with that all the time, so I would be nervous to do that for my Disney trip.
Yeah, there's some that I definitely recommend. They can get very, very complicated. One of my favorite credit cards is my Southwest Airlines credit card. The points are very flexible. You can redeem it for any flight on any Southwest flight. And obviously bags fly free, which is a nice added perk. So the Southwest Airlines card is one of my favorites to use for travel down to Orlando because they have a lot of flights to Orlando as well. And then also I have the Starwood Preferred Guest card for hotels, which will allow me to stay at the Swan and Dolphin because that's an SPG hotel. So those are really two. I really focus on those two areas, and like I said, you can really go down the rabbit hole with a lot of complex, difficult things. But I try and keep it simple for my Disney trips. Southwest, fly down there, and usually on my Starwood Preferred Guest card to stay at the Swan and Dolphin.
So, if someone wanted to get into not necessarily Starwood, is there another either property or is there another credit card that lends itself really well to staying on? Not on property, but in a hotel.
Yeah, one of my recent trips, I used my Hilton points to redeem for the Bonnet Creek Resort, which is actually on property. The Bonnet Creek area. There is the Wyndham. So Wyndham Bonnet Creek was another nice resort that's on property in the downtown Disney area. And there are a bunch. There's Intercontinental Hotels Group. There's basically every hotel chain is represented at some point because there's so many hotel options down there. So really, no matter what kind of car you have or any points you have, you can definitely use it for many hotels in the area.
Yeah. A lot of my business traveling friends use their Marriott card because they can do the same kind of thing. They can make their purchases, at home for gas and food and things like that. And then those get them points. And those seem to add up pretty quickly. and allows them, you know, a lot of flexibility because there's different categories of stays, which you probably, same thing at Star Wars. Mm-hmm. They probably have different categories of stays, whether, you know, what room is a, you know, category one, maybe use a lot of points compared to maybe like category six, which
exactly
not use as many points. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you say you accumulate, you know, a couple thousand points and you're able to get one night or two nights free, mm-hmm. that's going to be, you know, $100-$200 that you're just taking off the cost of your trip. So, I mean, even if you don't have it for enough for a full stay, then you can use it for one, two, three nights, depending on how many points you have. Right. And that could easily save you $100-$300, you know, depending on what type of room you're staying. So that's, you know, that's a lot of money right off the top right there.
Now, what would you say to someone who is dead set on staying in a Disney resort? How could you
rob
manage
a bank.
That? That is true. Have the last name Iger.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Disney. So it's, we can kind of transition over to how to stay if you're dead set on staying on site. So obviously, like you know, we know the free dining package was just released. So I know that pretty much sold out from most of resorts unless you're staying at a deluxe or a deluxe villa, unfortunately. But promotions like that are great reasons to stay on site. You know, pretty much they have an ongoing 20 to 30% off promotion that's for most states. So if you're looking to stay on site, generally I say look probably two seasons prior to when you're trying to look. That's when the promotions will probably run out or be announced by Disney. You should never pay full rack rate for a Disney resort because there's always some sort of promotion or discount that Disney's offering that you can take advantage of.
Right. And if you're listening overseas, like in England, was I with you, Tony? We were talking to somebody else. A lot of people call travel agents here, and if you have a travel agent, they can book your travel for you with no extra fees.
Right.
They do take a lot of headaches away, so that's a great tool.
Right.
But the funny thing, I was talking with a new friend from Europe, and they said that the offers that they have for Disney are completely different than what they have over here. So if you're listening to us overseas, reach out to a travel agent or do some research because there's really great offers for Walt Disney World for, you know, Europeans to come over, and it's completely different and more unique from what we get. So that might be a plus too.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it.
Yeah. So I don't know if you were so there's free dining, at least for the UK, about a week and a half prior to the US releasing the free dining, and UK free dining package was leaps and bounds better than the one we got in the US, which is, you know, kind of sucks for us, but good for friends over in Europe. I think, I don't have details in front of me, but it was basically free dining and you got a highly discounted park ticket. I don't have details in front of me, but it was a much better offer than we would get here. So yeah, definitely.
I wonder if you can take advantage of that. I mean,
yeah, it's a good point. I don't know how you could, because I was able to see if I went to Disney dot like the UK Disney site.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Full promotion. I have it right here. So I priced out a sample trip. It was Caribbean Beach for 7 nights. You get a 14-day ultimate ticket.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that was the default option. You had to choose a 14-day ticket. You couldn't choose anything less. A quick service dining plan, a $200 Disney gift card for £2,200, which I'm not sure the conversion rate, but
$10,
say you know, $3,000 or so. That's a really good deal for a family of four. I mean, it's an incredible deal.
I am going to maybe book my trip to a UK travel agent next time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to throw in the flights from the UK, I'm sure are, you know, substantial, not more. So they probably have to make it a little more lucrative for them to come across the pond to visit. But like I said, yeah, if you're listening and you're in Europe or UK somewhere, definitely take a look at the deals that you guys have over there.
Okay, so let's start with a place to stay. Everybody needs a room. Well, maybe you don't need a room. Maybe like sleeping in your rental car. I don't know. Some people have different travel, different definitions of a good trip. But if you do want to stay in a room, Kevin, what would you recommend? Like season wise, what's the best way to get a good deal? Is it credit card points? Is it a combination of points and money? You know, what would you recommend to somebody on trying to save for room? And they don't care whether it's Disney or non-Disney. Let's go that route.
Yeah, so if I would rate the, let's start with the most savings possible, I would say you have the ability to save the most money using the credit card points. So if you can open a credit card, get points, and then redeem those, you could pretty much get your hotels for free or for pennies on the dollar. So that's probably the highest, the most you could save. Another thing I really like to do, I have done in the past, is renting Disney vacation points from DVC members. So I did that for a trip a couple years ago, and we stayed at the boardwalk. So we were able to rent DVC points for I was able to bargain him down a little bit to 12 points, $12 a point, which That's is good. A really good rate. I think generally on most sites will get them for around 13, 14, 15 bucks, depending on you know where you're going. So I was able to talk him down to $12 a point because I think he's really trying to unload them. And that allowed me to stay the boardwalk in the boardwalk for $130 a night for that trip. So I mean, I think you're paying rack rate. You're almost like $300, $400, $500 depending on season. So yeah, I definitely always recommend if you really want to stay on site, especially if you need a villa for larger families, definitely look into renting DVC points either through the forums, their boards that have their setup that you can rent directly from, or some of the the sites that kind of facilitate those transactions. So definitely big fan of that. And then some other things, just keep an eye out for those promotions like free dining. Those are great things to take advantage of. But promotions like that, you really have to jump on, like we saw. You jump on and basically the second it's announced, you have to jump on the phone with Disney and try and get that package applied because there's so much competition. Everyone's waiting for that free dining promotion. So that's a really tough one to book. And then, it's obviously looking for room discounts through Disney. They usually offer, between 15% to 30% off Disney resort rates. And I would say look out probably two or so seasons prior to when your trip is coming up to see what discounts are available. And one thing to note that I think a lot of people forget about is you can have your trip booked. And you can also, if say they release a promotion during your dates, you can call up and have them apply that promotion to your pack to your stay. So I think a lot of people hold off booking and afraid they're going to miss a promotion. But really, you can book it, and then if say something comes out like free dining or a better discount, you can just call up and say, "Hey, can you apply this discount to my pack as long as it's eligible?" So that's one thing to keep in mind there.
Do you recommend using? Do you recommend going to the hotel's website and booking directly with them, or using something like Expedia or Orbitz or one of these multi travel package place travel agents online to book it, or do you recommend even using a travel agent?
Yeah, I mean, all options are good. I've done all three. I've recommended all three. Obviously travel agent probably give you the most hassle free, option. Basically you say travel agent, here's what I dates, here's what I want. They kind of do the work for you. So that's a nice option. It doesn't cost you anything. I still think there's a perception that travel agents somehow cost money for the person booking, but really they're getting a commission from Disney and the hotel. So it's really free for you. So they're working for you. So I've worked with travel agents and had great experiences because they live it day and night. Those trips. As far as sites like Expedia and Travelocity, sometimes they'll offer promotions and coupons that I'll post on my site. So I think a couple of weeks ago, there was a 15% coupon that was actually working for some of the Disney resorts. So, if things like that come out, definitely it's worth taking a look at. Generally, I haven't seen a huge amount of savings over booking at a site like Expedia. Over directly with Disney. Some other hotels off-site, you may get a better deal with some of the travel sites like Priceline.com, name your own price, or looking at different rates through those aggregator sites. I always kind of say really have to do your homework and see what works in your situation. Take a look at all the different options available and do the math and see what works best in your situation.
Kevin, is there a time of year that makes the most sense to plan a trip if you're flexible?
Yeah, I'm definitely. I think kind of we're seeing Disney starting to put even more emphasis with the different seasons with the single day seasonal ticket pricing. So I think the lowest season, the value season, which what was it, the end of August through September, and very early October. So that's a good time to go. I'm a big runner, so I've always done the Disney Marathon for many years, and early January can be a good time to go. Weather can be a little iffy.
Yeah,
that time.
It's a mixed bag of nuts. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've run the marathon. I've been drenched in sweat. And it's been hot. Other years, it's been practically snowing. So it's just a word warning for the weather that time period. I really like going actually very early December as well. Sometimes you can get good deals right before Christmas because a lot of people are saving up and want to go during the Christmas period and the holiday period. So early December, you can usually get some good deals. But if I was to pick one time, I'll probably say probably early September. Early to mid-September is probably my favorite time of year to go. The crowds kind of clear out. Schools are back in. It's a low season, but the weather's still great in Orlando. So that's one of my favorite times, and I'd highly recommend that time. It's also a cheap time of year to go as well.
Yeah, you did exactly what I used to do. I used to go in January or the first couple of weeks in December. Those used to be my two favorite times to go. I always felt like the Christmas season, I was getting more bang for my dollar, I guess, because I felt like I was there for the Christmas season. Everything's all decked out. It was more of a magical time of the year.
I agree. You can see the Christmas decorations. And even for the marathon, earlier years, they started taking down decorations before the marathon. But the last couple of years, they left them up past marathon weekend, because I think a lot of runners probably complained that they were taking them down while they were trying to run. So, they definitely agree. Try and get that shorter season of Christmas and holiday season. You can enjoy those at a discount.
Recently, Disney just upped their prices for park tickets. So I know the next question that people would want to know is, how do you save money buying park tickets?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Park tickets are one thing that Disney does not discount a lot. So I know, like you said, they just raised prices. They announced a seasonal pricing for single day tickets. If I were a betting man, I would say that we'll probably see some sort of seasonal pricing for multi-day tickets eventually. Maybe not next year, but it's going to happen because there's supply and demand is going to rule. They're going to try and make more money. Really, the best thing I can say is, if you're take a look at how long you're going, see if it makes sense. Some families that go a lot, sometimes it makes more sense to purchase annual pass versus purchasing, a multi-day pass.
Right.
So if you're a family that goes a lot, see if it makes sense financially, run the numbers to see if, it makes sense to purchase annual pass. Plus you get a lot of discounts along with annual pass too. So kind of to factor some of those discounts in as well. You can go through some of the money saving park ticket sites like undercovertourist.com. They may save you 5-10% if you get lucky. So it's not going to be a huge savings, but better than nothing. Definitely stay away from eBay, the shady shacks on the side of 192, and all those kind of weird, don't look legit ticket sites. You won't lose your money. So definitely stick with the official ticket site. And see if one thing I like to recommend to people is take a long look and understand if you really want to park hop or you need to park hop. That's one thing that if you don't feel like you need to park hop, you can leave that option off and save yourself a couple hundred dollars. I used to park hop a lot, but I think maybe with my older age, I feel like I like to spend the whole day in a single park rather than having to commute back and forth between the different parks. So I just kind of started leaving that option off my park tickets and, saves me a couple hundred dollars. I feel like a lot of times when I purchased a park hopper option, I had to take advantage of it. So I forced myself to kind of, jump between parks. So that's just an idea for some folks if they're looking to save some more money. Take a look. Do you really need the park hopper option? There's plenty to do at each of the parks that you can spend a full day each of the parks now. And the last one I want to touch on is the water parks fun and more option. Unless you're going to use that if you're going to use it for anything other than the water parks, it's not worth it. But if you're going to use it for some days at the water parks, generally save you a little money over purchasing water park tickets separately.
And now when you purchase that water park ticket, you can water park hop.
That's true. I've never actually water parked hop before.
Yeah, it's a whole new thing they just recently started. I usually also tell people if you find a ticket where the discount is more than 10%, walk away. Because it is probably fake, illegitimate, stolen, repurchased, or whatever. I've never seen a legitimate ticket for more than 10%. And I know AAA used to offer discount tickets. I don't think they're doing that any longer. I'll have to double check again.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice, the 10% rule. Because I agree, I've never seen anything that more than, I think I maybe have seen 10% in some variations of tickets. Right. Yeah, if it's like 25% off, 30% off Disney tickets. It's too good to be true.
Even if they're saying, well, if we're going to give you SeaWorld with Universal, it, still walk away. Just walk away because it's probably not real.
Yeah.
I've seen deals online, you know, where they're offering you, you know, Universal, SeaWorld, and Disney at some, like, you know, ridiculous amount of money, like $70 for all three parks. It's like, forget it. Just walk away.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Did you have another question, John? I thought you were thinking. No?
Oh, no, I was I was just going to let you ask the next question. But since you brought it up, so we understand, Kevin, you have a book coming out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yes, I have a book coming out probably next week. We're just putting the final touches on it right now. It's called The Ultimate Guide to an Affordable Disney World Vacation. And it's really kind of all the information that I put out on the site wrapped up into book form. So we take a look at how to save money on all the really big expenses for a Disney trip. So getting to Orlando, park tickets, hotels, resorts, food, and you know, things like best time to go, writing DVC points, a lot of things we touched on here, kind of in a condensed format, so you can really you know, just take the book and read through it. I think if you follow a lot of tips in the book, you'll be able to save hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars on your trip. So kind of want a single resource that you can just, you know, pick the book up, read it from start to finish. It's an easy read. It's not too long. And potentially save you a lot of money on your Disney vacation. I found that some of the other sites and books that I read in the past, it's just information overload so much. What I try to focus on are some of the big expenses, like how do you save a lot of money on hotels, how you save a lot of money on flights, and really not sacrificing the magic of a vacation, because you're on vacation, so you want to enjoy yourself, you want to eat out, you want to have fun. You know, you don't want to have to pack peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and bring them to the parks and stuff like that. And it just sounds like an awful time doing things like that. So, you know, trying to save money, but still have a good time, keep the magic, feel like you're on vacation without having to sacrifice, you know, a lot.
Do you have any good tips for saving money if you want to dine in the parks and the resorts?
So a lot of times I like to, if I want to do a sit-down restaurant, I usually have a large lunch, like a large later lunch. A lot of times we go and have a sit-down meal. It's a good kind of midday break you can have. And a lot of times some of the restaurants will even have lower prices for lunch meals compared to dinner. That's not true for all of them. But a lot of times we'll just have a late larger lunch. I know a lot of people on the site ask about character dining. Mm. And one of the cheapest options for character dining, well, two options there. So if you want a kind of free character experience, at the Fort Wilderness, they have a campfire with Chip and Dale show up. You can make s'mores. So that gives you kind of a character experience, and it's free to go, and they just put a movie on. Another option for actual character dining is the cheapest option is actually at the Garden Grove restaurant in the Swan. They have character dining, which I think a lot of people don't know about, but it's definitely cheaper than any other character dining option that is out there. And the characters show up at the Swan. It's a nice resort, and you can have you know, breakfast with the characters, and it's a lot cheaper than a lot of the other options.
I don't think I know. I haven't done that.
Yeah, it's a kind of a not well-known character meal, but I've always, every time I'm there, I see the characters over there, I'm like, huh, and make sure to mention this to everyone.
Yeah, I think the Four Seasons has a character breakfast on Thursdays, too, which I think is cheaper than Disney's character breakfasts as well.
Oh, nice. I haven't checked the Four Seasons. I'll definitely make a note of that.
And one last thing, too, is I always tell people, you know, if you're going to Disney and you're only going to do Disney, you probably don't need a rental car. Take the Magical Express, get to your resort. You'll use Disney transportation. If you have to leave property, there are things like Uber now. So what if somebody insists, well, I have to have a car because I'm going to do, you know, Busch Gardens and SeaWorld and Universal. You know, just do you have tips for saving money on a rental car, Kevin?
Yeah. My go-to really is naming your own price on Priceline.com. That's really my go-to site that I always use for rental cars. There are a couple tips there to kind of maximize your bid. So always start with a low ball price, bid something like $8 a day, which you know won't get accepted. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes I low ball like $12 a day and it's accepted. So you never know. I always start with a really low offer because some car company might be desperate to get rid of some cars that day. So start with a very low ball offer you think will never get accepted. Each time you change your car type, you're allowed a rebid. So say you bid $10 for compact, you're allowed to rebid if you bid on midsize. Say you bid $12 for midsize. So each time you choose a different car, you're allowed another bid. So that kind of allows you to keep making different bids, and eventually you can slowly work your way up a dollar a time to see what the low threshold is. And I've always gotten cars for under, I think most ever pay was maybe $17 a day for a car. So yeah, you can really get some good deals on Priceline, because a lot of times they just kind of release inventory. Like a car is worth a cent, sitting on a lot, so you kind of deeply discount them and send them to sites like that. Another site, hotwire.com, is another good site that sometimes they'll release some of the really cheap cars there. A lot of times you won't know what rental car company you're renting from. Not that I really found that to matter. Most of the ones in Orlando are reputable, or they wouldn't last there. So even some thrifty or someone that you never heard of, I've always had good experiences with them. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, like you said, with Uber and UberX in the Orlando area now,
yeah.
It's really hard to almost recommend renting a car, but if you absolutely need to, I would check out Priceline, Priceline.com, and Hotwire. Those are my two go-to sites.
And they are too testing in Orlando something called Uber Family, where the driver will have a car seat as well. So,
oh yeah, yep. Yeah. One thing they started testing here in Philadelphia is Uber Pool. So it was actually a carpooling where you say, "I'm going from here to Disney." If someone else is coming from the Orlando airport to Disney, mm-hmm. you can split a car, and it's like incredibly cheap. So I don't know if they have it down there yet, but they just rolled out here in Philly. So it's a matter of time before they test it out other places.
Yeah, not yet. We haven't gotten the pool thing yet. So tell people also about your website. You have a pretty good website with a lot of information there. So tell everybody about the frugalmouse.com.
Yeah, so at frugalmouse.com, kind of run it like a blog format. A lot of times the deals that we post about are kind of come and go. So we really kind of run it more of like a news site about deals that are coming up. And really we're pulling deals from anywhere. We look for flight deals, hotel deals, deals from Disney. Every once in a while we'll post a how-to or trip report based on what we're coming for. So, we try and keep it updated a couple times a week with a bunch of information. I know last week with the free dining announcement, we had a flurry of activity. Everyone's posting about it and asking about it, and we heard the rumors coming, and we posted it out, and we sent a heads up to the email list the night before, saying, "Hey, you might want to wake up early tomorrow morning just to check if free dining was posted." I think it came out like 4 a.m. or something crazy like that. So I wasn't awake for it, but I know a lot of people said they were thankful that they got the heads up that it may be released tomorrow, and thank God I was right. I didn't make a bunch of people wake up early for no reason. So yeah, I mean we're always looking for money saving deals, information, and once we see something good that will help out our Disney fans, we'll get it posted to the site.
Something that they used to do, I don't know if they still do it. I haven't received one of these. Remember they used to have those emails with those special codes in them?
Oh, pin code?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I get those once in a while.
Yeah, they're still doing those, huh?
Yeah. I got a couple. I've been getting a lot for Disneyland for some reason. I don't know why they keep trying to target me for Disneyland, but if you actually look through my site, I actually mentioned in the book as well how to kind of increase your odds for getting a pin code. Mm. It's really just kind of sign yourself up for all the Disney emails. I get hammered with them. I get probably one a month, or actually probably haven't seen a couple months here, but yeah, I'll get some from Disneyland, I guess some from Disney World. Sometimes it comes through email, sometimes it comes through the snail mail. But yeah, as long as you sign up for a lot of Disney mailings and promotions, you have a good chance of getting targeted.
I mean, I would think I would be getting one once a day as much. Yes. I am like DVC, annual pass, D23. I've signed up everywhere.
maybe you're too much of a
maybe too much Disney. They're like, "Oh no, we don't need him to come anymore."
They know you're gonna show up. Like, we need to get him a discount.
Yeah, it may be. Maybe they're like, "Well, he's a DVC member, he'll come anyway."
Yeah, I go down. I mean, I generally go down about once a year, maybe once or twice a year. So I'm not a super frequent visitor. So maybe that's why I get a little more targeted mail from them.
I mean, the last one that I remember using, it was a long time ago. It was probably like 10 years ago. And it was like, buy three nights, get the fourth night free. Now, I don't think they've done that in a very long time. I don't think there's a buy anything, get anything free anymore at Disney.
Yeah, I haven't seen. They've done some ticket promotions where you get, you know, 5 days for the price of four.
Mm.
Those have come out. And yeah, but as far as nights, I don't remember seeing that in many, you know, previous years either.
Okay, where can people find you on the internet, Kevin?
Yes, yeah, so like I mentioned, you can check me out at frugalmouse.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter. You'll see on our site there. And yeah, book coming out next week. So the unofficial, the ultimate guide to an affordable Disney World vacation will be out next week. And we'll have to sponsor a giveaway or something for all the listeners when it officially is released. So yeah, I'll reach out and let you guys know.
Now, they can get that on your site. Is that going to be on Amazon or anywhere else?
Yeah, so it'll be exclusively on Amazon. Okay. It'll be in paperback and Kindle ebook formats.
Okay.
Perfect. And just go to, you know, frugalmouse.com. You'll see all the details when that does go out. So yeah, I'm gonna sell it through Amazon.
Well, we have to thank you for coming on. There's a lot of good information, and we'll have to have you back on every now and again to talk about this, because it's always an ever changing game Disney plays with our wallets.
Yeah, but they've been really hitting us hard with all these price hikes. They raised park tickets, drink prices, parking, everything is going up. So
yeah, we're talking about in this week's news about them being very sneaky about drink prices going up. Yeah, and they, unfortunately, the kids' drinks got hit the hardest.
I know. Yeah, they do give out free water. You go to quick service.
That's right.
Ask for free water. It's free, and I always do that. So
if you don't mind the way it tastes, and you can live with it, you know, a lot of people bring like those little drink mixes and just throw that in there.
Yeah, free Mio, Noon. My wife likes a lot of drink. There's a tab in there, and it tastes like, you know, that's good stuff. So.
All right, Kevin, thanks for coming on the show. And as we say around here, we'll see you in the parks.
See you in the parks. Thanks, guys.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.